Welcome to BIC Magazine's Inside Industry Podcast, the program where business and industry connect to share topics and ideas that move the world's energy. BIC Magazine's Inside Industry Podcast is brought to you by the BIC Alliance. BIC Alliance and its sister companies, BIC Magazine, BIC Recruiting, and IVS Investment Banking, help industrial businesses grow through marketing and sales, hiring the right people, and merger and acquisition services. Visit BICalliance.com for more information.
Hey, my friends, this is Jeremy Osterberger with BIC Magazine. Today, I'm joined with Brandon Mobile and Ben Brubeck with ABC, the Associated Builders and Contractors. Brandon is Strategic Development Manager for Performance Contractors and is the 2023 South Central Region Vice Chair for ABC National. And Ben is a Government Affairs Vice President at the National Headquarters of ABC in DC. Hey, Ben and Brandon, thanks so much for jumping on with us.
Thanks for having us, Jeremy.
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. Great to see you again.
So look, we're talking about the Inflation Reduction Act, or IRA for short. Industrial contractors are looking to navigate the IRA, and there's several questions. People want answers, and they want some guidance, and we hope to provide that today in our discussion. So the Inflation Reduction Act was signed into law August 16th, 2022, and provides over $270 billion in tax credits for the construction of solar, wind, hydrogen, carbon sequestration projects, electric vehicle charging stations, and really other clean energy projects. Ben, I'll start with you. Can you just give us kind of an overview of the IRA, specifically kind of more through the lens of industrial contractors?
Yeah, well, the IRA is code name for the budget reconciliation bill that was passed on a partisan basis through Congress. And so this is a little bit controversial. There's a lot of government spending in this bill as a whole, but this provided spending for a lot of different, I guess, pet projects and policy priorities of the Democratic Party specifically, because no Republicans voted for it. But outside of the political side, there's a lot of money in here for clean energy construction projects, which should be of interest to the industrial contractors. A lot of that is because a lot of this work, especially in the clean energy space, has been dependent on pretty significant tax credits. Most of these programs have tax credits that are roughly 30% of the value of the project. So this has been sort of a way to fund some of these projects, and they can trade these credits. It's been a pipeline to get these projects off the ground. Well, what's happened in the IRA is they've slashed the rate of these tax credits from 30% down to 6%. So it's pretty significant. However, you can get the full 30% up from the 6%, you know, five times greater than what the baseline is, if you implement something called a prevailing wage requirements, as well as government registered apprenticeship requirements for most of these tax credits. So the government is essentially dangling policy as a carrot to get you to access the full tax credits. So it's created some confusion and some controversy here because the IRS and Treasury has issued some regulations and some guidance. Effectively, they're in effect now. They took place at the end of January. And it's created a lot of confusion because there's a lot of risk and additional uncertainty that will decide whether or not a contractor and a developer want to move forward with either building or developing these types of projects. So we're kind of in this regulatory limbo zone, purgatory zone, waiting for additional clarity from IRS and Treasury. And that's not a great place to be in when you're trying to build these types of projects. You want certainty. And so, you know, Brandon and other contractors and other developers are coming to ABC with lots of questions. They're coming to IRS and Department of Labor asking the same questions, and we don't have a lot of the answers for them. We have some, but not a lot. So we're seeking clarity.
Brandon, you want to add anything to Ben, just to kind of from your perspective?
Yeah, I think the biggest misconception is that the only way to comply with the IRA is by bringing in organized labor, union labor, signing a project labor agreement. And I, you know, ABC has been in the apprenticeship game really as long as ABC has been an organization. We haven't had to use apprenticeships in the South for most, you know, at least since the late 80s. And so apprenticeships were not something we've been doing a lot in Texas and Louisiana and Alabama and other industrialized states. But because of the background that ABC had, it really is an easy fix, and it's something that's being spun up very quickly. So there's a lot of opportunity to comply, even as an open shop or merit shop contractor, to be able to meet the guidelines of the IRA and help your clients out.
And so, Ben, digging into some of those wage and apprenticeship requirements even more, are there some details that you do have in front of you, something you can share, you know, today?
Yeah, absolutely. And let's start with apprenticeship first, since Brandon mentioned it first. Yeah, I'm sure some of your industrial contractors are just broadly familiar with prevailing wage requirements. But the registered apprenticeship issue is something that's really new to a lot of different industrial contractors. You know, they have their own in-house training programs, workforce development programs. They're not familiar with the structure of the government registered apprenticeship system in general. And some contractors might be, but a lot of them aren't. And so what the IRA says is that if you want these full bonus tax credits, you've got to meet these registered apprenticeship requirement standards as well as the prevailing wage standards. So I'll go through the registered apprenticeship requirements first, then we'll talk about prevailing wage next. But so what the Inflation Reduction Act says essentially is that about 15% of the total labor hours of the project must be completed by government registered apprentices by 2024. This year, it's 12.5%, but then it phases up to 15% next year. So the question is, what does that exactly mean? And there's some other requirements in there too. One of the other things it says is that each contractor and subcontractor employing four or more individuals on a qualifying project must employ one or more apprentices from a government registered apprenticeship program. So almost all contractors are going to be covered by this. There's no sort of place to hide. And the big question here is, how do you calculate the number of hours on a project? And then how do you calculate the number of apprentices? And are there enough apprentices to meet these requirements? There's also significant sort of regulatory confusion about registered apprenticeship ratios, which is the number of apprentices that you can use for the number of journeymen, and which state apprenticeship ratio and state registered apprenticeship requirements accompany the project. Is it rules at the site of work, or is it rules your apprentices are enrolled in if it's in another state? It gets pretty complicated if you're not familiar with your apprenticeship system. And these are some of the issues we're asking for clarity on. There's also additional penalties on contractors, but we think the way the statute's written and the way that the guidance is written, the penalties are actually applying to the developers. So the developers are going to be hit with significant fines if they don't meet the registered apprenticeship hours, which is 12.5% of all the work performed on a project. And there's some good faith exceptions, perhaps, and we're asking for clarity about how that works. You know, one of the things it says is that if you can't find a registered apprentice from a program within 5 business days, you are absolved from your responsibility, but that's not really clarified at all in there. And so the concern, at least for a lot of the contractors down in the South, where there's not a lot of registered apprenticeship programs, that they can't, you know, meet these demands. And so how does this good faith exception work? Broadly, just one thing I'll say about registered apprenticeship programs is that they produce about 45,000 graduates per year across the entire construction industry. This includes ABC. We have more than 300 government registered apprenticeship programs and more than 20 trades. But most of the government registered apprenticeship programs are run by unions, and they're called joint programs. And more than 75% of all construction industry registered apprentices are in union programs. So there's this concern that the administration's favoring unions and they're requiring government registered apprenticeship programs as a handout to labor to make sure that unionized labor and union apprentices get this type of work in the private sector, which is rather unusual. But like Brandon said earlier, non-union merit shop contractors can absolutely build this work. They can qualify the full tax credits. They can do everything, but we just need some more regulatory certainty around a lot of these things. So, Brandon, I don't know if you want to add anything else to what I just said, but that's kind of a quick overview of where we are on the apprenticeship side.
Yeah, and Ben, the only thing I would add is that the easiest way right now, if you don't have an apprenticeship program in-house, like some of us as contractors do, is your local ABC chapter. I know ABC Greater Houston currently has 16 crafts in their registered apprenticeship program that really cover the full gamut of industrial projects. The ABC Southeast Texas chapter in Beaumont is working quickly to catch up, as are the chapters in Freeport and Corpus Christi. The Pelican and Bayou chapters in Louisiana are also expanding their apprenticeship offerings. And so they can take a lot of the load off of us as contractors by going to these organizations and using their apprenticeship programs. And they're easy to find. They're easy to manage. They've got very knowledgeable staff, and they have the multi-year, multi-decade history of apprenticeships through ABC National that they can call upon, and some real experts up in DC to help them make sure that they are providing you with what you need to comply. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you're talking about an FID scenario for your owners on some of these projects. These are massive tax credits. And so they need assurances. And luckily, with the background that ABC has, you can make it a lot easier on yourself to get those assurances.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you know, a lot of these developers are saying, I can't build this project without the full tax credit. And if I don't get the full tax credit till the end of the project, and I don't know whether or not I've met these requirements and what kind of fines and fees there may be, a lot of these developers are like, hey, I don't want to move forward with this until I get exact regulatory clarity and I know that it can be met. So it's definitely a bit of a conundrum. And like I said, ABC contractors have, ABC members have more than 300 government registered apprenticeship programs through our chapters across the country. But ABC members also have their own registered apprenticeship programs in a lot of markets. So you couldn't set up your own program if you want. You can come to ABC chapters. They can help you set up your program, or you can just go through the existing structure that's set up. I know a lot of our chapters are already seeing this as an opportunity to grow their registered apprenticeship footprint. The problem is that in some states, the states are so, politically driven that they won't approve new registered apprenticeship programs. It becomes a choke point to steer workers and projects into the union wheelhouse because they have some programs approved. We may not in some trades. And so it's sort of a way to steer contracts to certain people. And, you know, that's concerning. And so I know ABC has been working through our advocacy efforts to get more programs approved in those states and to have some more federal oversight of these bad actors.
And that's a good point. You know, it's funny. I'm just thinking this through. So, you know, there may be some firms or small businesses that, you know, don't have much experience in prevailing wage or apprenticeship regulations. They may face some challenges. And so you mentioned some of those resources, and that kind of ties into our next question, which is, you know, will ABC contractors be able to perform the work, for developers, taxpayers taking advantage of the full IRA tax credits?
Yeah, absolutely. Contractors will be able to. And the second component of all this is the prevailing wage requirements. And so, right. You know, if contractors are not familiar with the prevailing wage, what the statute says for in the IRA and what the initial guidance says is that contractors have to pay the prevailing wage rate, which is set by the federal government at the Department of Labor, to their laborers and mechanics on the applicable construction project. And they have to, you know, have record keeping satisfying that requirement. There's some significant penalties that are actually levied by the Treasury and IRS if they don't meet those requirements, but it absolutely can be done. A lot of contractors pay Davis-Bacon or state prevailing wage on state or federal projects, and it can be done. You can just literally go on SAM.gov, look up the type of construction project and the location of the project to find those wage rates. Where it gets complicated, and this is getting a little bit in the weeds, is when the union wage rate is designated as prevailing. The union work rules accompany those. And when those union work rules accompany those rates, those work rules aren't published anywhere. So contractors are trying to understand, okay, I know the wage rate and I know the benefits I have to pay, but I don't know all these other sort of ancillary work rules that limit who can do what and touch what types of tools and touch certain types of construction. So that is an area that we've complained about at ABC for decades, and there needs to be more regulatory clarity. So I think contractors who go into these types of work have to understand what are their obligations when meeting the union work rules if the union rate prevails. So that's going to be something that might trip up some contractors, but it's something that could be managed, but new contractors need to be aware of that.
Yeah, and that differs between state to state.
Actually, differs county to county, Jeremy.
County, wow.
Yeah, each wage rate, it's unbelievable. The government actually publishes a wage and benefit rate for every single trade for four different types of construction and in every county across the country. And they get this through surveys of actual contractors. And the survey response rate is not very robust. It's not very slow. It's very slow. And a lot of people say that it's actually not the real prevailing wage rate. And there's better ways to calculate it, but the government has decided not to do it with a more modern scientific methodology. So some of these wage rates haven't been set for 20 years, whereas other ones are tied to the union collective bargaining rate or way above market. So it's not the best system in the world. And I think it'll create some confusion here.
Wow. Brandon, anything to add on the topic around right now?
Yeah, I would say when it comes to prevailing wage, it is county to county. And one thing that we see is that although throughout the United States, merit shop labor makes up about 90% of construction workforce, prevailing wage in about 75% of the cases is the union wage is prevailing. And so what happens is, like Ben said earlier, you've got those union work rules that you need to abide by. So I think the big takeaway here is to get with your legal counsel, to get a qualified labor attorney who understands prevailing wage and understands the associated laws and work rules and work with them. By all means, this is not impossible to do. It's something that is very much within our grasp as contractors. It's just a couple extra steps of work that you have to go through to make sure you're getting it right.
No, that's excellent, guys. Thank you, Ben and Brandon. So let's wrap up with this question, guys. We've done a great job of digging into this, at least at a level that is appropriate now. And of course, we can have you guys back on if things progress. But Ben, you know, how can ABC chapters and members find resources and guidance about the IRA and follow this as it develops?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, you know, the whole construction ecosystem, developers, you know, the banking financiers, contractors, chapters, everybody can follow what we're following that's coming out of the IRS and Treasury at a website we've got called abc.org/IRA for the Inflation Reduction Act. And we've got all the government resources and frequently asked questions and information that have been published so far, including the guidance that came out of IRS and Treasury earlier this year. We do expect that additional rulemakings and guidance and FAQs to be issued in the meantime. This regulatory cake isn't exactly baked, and so there's still time to fix and clarify this. So we check the website every day and provide updates on our website whenever we can. And we're also actively working with the Treasury to clarify a lot of these questions. So, you know, we don't really have a timeline on when this is all going to be in better shape, but we know that they are working on this, and we're not the only group that's talking about this as an area of concern too. So I would just say, you know, anyone listening to this, check out abc.org/IRA. We've got links to all the government work, past webinars we've done for ABC members and some other resources. And we're also going to be doing a pretty aggressive media campaign trying to educate stakeholders about this and about our resources so that, you know, they know that this is an issue and needs to be addressed.
Fantastic. Brandon, any last comments you have?
Yeah, I would also say at abc.org, you can click on the ABC tab and go to locate a chapter and find your local chapter, and you'll find local experts that can help you. They can also put you in touch with Ben and the good folks in DC with ABC National if you have some specific questions. And so there's a lot of resources out there. You know, ABC has been around for nearly 75 years supporting the Merit Shop in cases just like this. And so this is not new to ABC. It's new in private sector work, but this has been going on in the public sector for literally for decades, Jeremy. And so there's a lot of knowledge there and folks ready to help.
That's well said, man. Well, Ben and Brandon, thank you so much for jumping on and educating our audience today.
Thanks for having us again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Jeremy.
And look, as always, folks watching, remember, for more news, videos, and podcasts, visit BICMagazine.com. Remember, everybody, it's what we do together that counts.
Thank you for listening to BIC Magazine's Inside Industry Podcast. Log on to BICMagazine.com for industry news and resources. BIC Magazine's Inside Industry Podcast is brought to you by the BIC Alliance. BIC Alliance and its sister companies, BIC Magazine, BIC Recruiting, and IVS Investment Banking, help industrial businesses grow through marketing and sales, hiring the right people, and merger and acquisition services. Visit BICAlliance.com for more information.